30-some years ago, we're lucky because we're not paying a fortune for a house. But like I told you, whenever Elizabeth was married to Michael, they're paying $1,200 rent. And this guy explains why housing is so expensive for her. You expect things to go up. Like in 65, my parents bought a house for $10,000. It was a three-story house, nice big house. And then whenever they moved, whenever we moved to Iowa, they bought a mobile home. It was $300 a month plus lot rent. And then whenever they bought their current house that my sister inherited, they pay $500 a month. But he tells why it's up so high drastically, and it's videos are kind of long, but they're very good.
All righty.
There's things in both of those videos that I didn't know, and I listened to both of them twice because they just got me, and they were good. But the main reason why houses are expensive for it, he goes into more detail than what I'm going to tell you, but because there's a housing shortage, and he tells why there's a housing shortage.
I kind of doubt there's a housing shortage. I mean, you got them all over the place for sale.
That's the problem. The prices are too high, and nobody wants to buy them. That's why. That's why there's a housing crisis. But listen to those two videos. You just don't see that. But I have always heard that there's a housing crisis and housing shortage.
All righty.
Yeah, check around. You'll find out that there is a housing shortage.
Okie dokie.
I didn't think there was either, but I have been hearing that, that there is a housing shortage. It's like, yeah, right, but that's what I've been hearing, that there's a housing shortage. And it's expensive to rent or to buy.
Well, if prices of stuff went down, you know, rent now would go down.
That's true, but not necessarily, because you don't know how. If they open up the streets for moose, price of gasoline would still be high because they want to get as much as they can, and it would actually be lower, but it's about the same thing. It's a housing crisis. Seriously, try that sometime.
All righty.
But this guy knows what he's talking about, and he's got a lot of other videos. And, I knew there was a little bit of a housing crisis, but I didn't think it was as bad as he said it was. But, yeah, it is bad.
All righty.
I got Wednesday. I scraped the south side of my garage, the bottom half. And then Thursday, yesterday, I noticed that my wife's flowers, the heads were on them. And it's like, wow, they're growing fast. And I won't be able to put primer on for about a week, and then I'll let that dry, and then I can paint the bottom half. And by that time, they'll be 2 feet high.
Yeah, because they're talking possible rain next week.
Wow, it's going to rain most of next week.
Well, hopefully not, though.
See, next week, I'll have to pull them back and do it that way.
Yeah, but hopefully not, though.
Oh, yeah, they're going to grow. With all the rain we're getting, yes, they're going to grow.
Well, hopefully we won't get the rain next week.
It's supposed to rain almost every single day, but, yeah, I hope not, because I want to get the bottom half. If I can get the bottom half, I can take the time with the rest of my garage. Okay, I'm here at Chick-fil-A. Let you go. Catch you later. N9YOU. KB9KBX.
All right, I'll get to you later. KB9KBX and 9YOU.
CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network.
ACA, UW, Dayton, Ohio.
CMN Network.
Okay, go ahead, Dayton, Ohio.
All right, good morning, Sam. I was just testing the RF output of your link. Looks like almost full scale here in Virginia.
Let's see, and that is Xenia, Ohio, where the now new home of the Dayton Amateur Radio Club location is, where they hold the Dayton Hamvention in the Greene County Fairgrounds, right there in the downtown district of Xenia, Ohio. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. The Greene County Expo Center is home of Dayton Hamvention, and that's located here in the county seat of Greene County, Xenia, Ohio. Rumored to be named an Indian name for the land of the devil wind. We've had three tornadoes come through here in my lifetime, most notably in 1974. An F5 wiped a 1 mile wide swath through the town and killed, I think, 12 or 13 people. So, but anyway, back to Hamvention. Yep, we're going to have one this year, and they say it's going to be a good one. So, back to you.
Yes, very good. Well, it'll be a good one if we have good weather. Good weather seems to be the protocol and the stabilizer of the Dayton Hamvention. As we all know from years past, back even when I was a kid, when I first went to the Dayton Hamvention in, what, 1968 or 9, I can't remember now. I was in high school, and was used as a slave labor with the great and the one and only great W-A-U-U, a global call sign from everywhere. Everybody wanted to stop and see Kenny, talk to Kenny, meet Kenny, gee me, Christmas. They come from everywhere. And I wouldn't have believed it unless I'd seen him with my own eyes. I mean, people flew into Dayton just to talk to him, to see him there at that booth that me and my two buddies had to put up because we were slave labor. Those were the days when a 500-watt linear was on wheels. We got to roll it up there to the booth and everything, two of us. Now you can carry a 500-watt linear in your pocket. So I'm sure Kenny would have loved to see that in his day, but we lost Kenny. He became an SK in, what, 1990, I think it was, over. Anyways, here we are, Friday morning, March 27th. Friday morning with here at my station, 37, 38 degrees. Coming down in from a really wicked weather night. Wind, rain, lightning, the whole shebang last night. But it went over us, praise the Lord, and to God be the glory, of course. And I was out this morning surveying the property, and I don't see any problems. It did turn one of the Aggies a little ways. But that's usually done with a manual other turn the other way with a pipe wrench. So here we are on Friday morning. Let's see who's out there and wants to make an early Friday morning statement. Over.
KV9ZWT, Indiana.
KVN 40 is mobile, just west of Richmond, Virginia, on I-64.
All righty, well, we'll say good morning to these two operators over in Virginia, and of course, Mr. C over there in the Hoosier State. We'll go with Virginia since he's mobile. Go ahead, Virginia, and what's the weather like over there the last 24 hours there, over?
Right this present time, it's overcast, but 69 degrees in the semi-westbound here. I was talking to a friend of mine on 80 meters a while ago back in Moorefield, West Virginia. He said it done had 3/10 of an inch of rain back there. So I guess by the time I get west of Harrisonburg to the house, I'll probably be in rain. Anyway, I'm run out of this repeater here very shortly, so I'm going to sign in for you.
Okay, K4U, I'm mobile and safe out there. Glad you dropped in to say something. We need more activity out here in the airways, that's for sure. That's why we get in here in the last couple of weeks in the mornings, trying to get it fired up some more. So thanks for the insight on the weather, and be safe out there. And we'll go with that there. Mr. C, go ahead from a minute. I cannot remember. Where are you at from Indianapolis, there, over?
I am in a little town called Morgantown. It's probably a solid 30 miles south of Indianapolis. I'm showing 45 degrees. Obviously a little damp, but it looks like the sun's coming up over in the east. Started taking my back deck apart yesterday, and as usual, these little home projects, the further you go, the deeper they get. And I've decided I'm really tired of chasing these $1,000 to $2,000 little bed toppers, so I'm just going to build one. So that's the next thing on my page full. I've got to try to get a 89ZWT back to you, Ned.
All right there, Mr. C, WT. Well, you know, that may be the better way to go, I guess. I was just, well, you were saying that, when you said build one, might as well build one. I'm thinking, you know, I can remember back in the late 80s, my boss, he's a family man, four kids and all that, so he bought a new Oldsmobile. And back in the day, those Oldsmobiles had the great big back taillights, you know, the great big ones. Comfortable ride, they were. And they had two styles, I think, if I remember right. Well, anyway, I took note of that, and I liked that. And, you know, I was looking to buy a vehicle. I was thinking about buying a used one. So I'm talking to my boss, he says, why do you want to do that for? You're not going to get no bumper-to-bumper, help with it. I said, okay. So I went up to Oldsmobile deal there, started looking at newer ones. They just happened to have one there that come down in price. And don't you know that guy called me back up 2 days later? He came way down in price. So I went up there and signed the deal. And next thing you know, I had a big Oldsmobile with big back taillights. And I'll tell you, that was the nicest ride. It really was. My son was young, and wife, you know, we just married and all that, and began to go to church, and that was the church car. Of course, I drove that car everywhere, but you know, he mentioned, he said, why do you want to buy a used car with no warranty? Get you a bumper-to-bumper warranty. I said, wow, that's got a ring to it, and so that's what I did, and it worked out well there, over.
Yeah, I remember those. Those were really big cars. Back in the 90s, there was a song come out about somebody had this big Chrysler, and it would seat about 20 in it. So that's kind of what that reminds me of. But yeah, I remember those big cars going down the road. Being a little kid, I'd get up in the back glass and lay across the back glass and look out. Just some kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, they had all kinds. I'll tell you, this was a maroon, a real nice maroon color, maroon interior even, cloth, of course. This is a four-door. Very comfortable, though. I mean, it was, I could almost fall asleep driving this stupid thing. And that's without any Budweiser, you know? So, of course, when I joined, got within the church, that Budweiser kind of went away a little bit, but you know, not that far, but a whole lot of moderation geared up with it, so that was a great thing. But I enjoyed that vehicle, I really did. Until I went and started making my own business there, mowing grass and all that, I needed a truck, so I traded that thing in on a truck, and that was the start of my truck days. Back that was, heck, I think I traded that in on about 1992, I think, maybe. But anyways, I wish I had that car today, to be honest with you. Well, I enjoyed riding that around. And good on gas mileage and everything. So can't believe it worked out that well. Lord, God be the glory with that. Anyways, anybody else out here that wants to get in here on the frequency and have any words that we can live by today? Over.
Midway Airport area. Good morning, Sam. What in the Sam Nation is going on in Dayton today?
Yeah, well, good morning there, Tony. I tell you, that repeater is still IDing. It's not very loud. They've got it turned way down, but it is IDing. And I don't know why you can't hear it, but I can. And we had a fellow out here out of Pennsylvania, I think it was. He knew how to take care of all that. I don't know. I haven't been able to write anything down. I'd look right at him and look right at it and find out the names and all that. Daggone, this makes me a little irritated. I can't keep up with everybody, and I want to be able to do that. So I'm still trying to figure out how I can maybe do it here in the front room, but because I just hate to give this up. In fact, I just came in from the shop. It took me a few minutes here to reconnect everything because I had to disconnect everything last night because these storms moving through. And I started about 6:30 when I went out there, connecting as I go across the patio and into the shop, and I turned the link back on and get it squared away. And so I was out there for a few minutes going through some things on the computer, getting the computer up and at them. I thought, well, while I'm out here, let me check my mail and all that stuff. So, it's not as comfortable out there as it is in here. But yeah, I had to give up that notebook thing to be able to be in here. So, anyways, Tony, Sam Nation. Sam Nation. I bet the local guys are going to get a kick out of that. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio. Anybody else on frequency this morning? Over. Well, we got everybody here except Mansfield. Didn't bring Mansfield on this morning. I've had him in here a couple of last few mornings and didn't hear anybody from Larry's repeater, so I didn't want to bother him up there, but we may bring him in here in a little bit, after 8 o'clock maybe. So, now today is the morning brew day over there on the East Coast Reflector. ECR 9050 is where you find it at. And today they're going to have a third hour, and that third hour is recognized and titled as the Second Cup. So the morning brew for 2 hours, the second cup for the third hour. Now, so that's pretty witty stuff there, over.
Yeah, we heard you talking about the Oldsmobiles. I had a couple of them myself. My first one was my dad's hand-me-down, 67 Olds 98. What a boat that was. What a nice ride.
Yeah, who was DSF, I think it was. Go ahead.
B9ESL. Take a one, Sam, it's Art, Indiana.
Oh, okay, yeah, Art. All right, yeah, Southern Indiana there. Did you weather the weather last night?
Yeah, a couple times. And the first time come through went north of us at about 2 o'clock this morning, we had one come through right over.
Yeah, they were coming in kind of like a wave. We had, here at my house, just north of Dayton, Ohio, the big ones come through about 10 o'clock-ish, maybe. Really loud, really making noise. Rain all over the place. Didn't see hail or anything. And a lot of wind, of course. That went through, and actually, I noticed that all of a sudden it was gone. You know, after maybe 10 minutes. So I thought, okay, so we sat here a little bit watching some TV again. And here come the other one, you know. And, you know, I had Skywarn on here on my HT. I had everything unplugged. I usually sit here at the front room or wherever I'm at here in the compound. And I'll turn on my HT. I've got the Skywarn on there, the local Skywarn, Dayton Skywarn. And, you know, all the other counties report to Dayton Skywarn. And then Dayton Skywarn reports to Wilmington, Ohio. Now, Wilmington, Ohio is where the U.S. Weather Bureau is. They got like 160 people working down there in that place. I don't know if they worked all there at one time. I think it's probably three shifts, I imagine. I mean, it's federal location, a federal place. And so they report to them. They don't want all these 30 counties trying to call into the federal place. And so they've zeroed it down to everybody calls Dayton and Dayton calls it in. But their radar went down, which is unheard of. So they were they couldn't see very well. My radar was up. It was working. I could see that stuff coming through. Of course, I couldn't see what they see. They see the weather all different ways and all that. So, you know, you can see all the salt and pepper in it. Over.
Yeah, we just kind of watch ours here. Bring up the NWS on the monitor and stuff and watch what some of what they're seeing. A lot of that can when it's getting close, but that's all that matters. And I'm on the HD this morning. I just kind of slept in a little bit then. I was on the radio there two or three times last night. And just got my HD sitting here. So I'm going to let you get back to the other gentleman just having a few. So with you, just going to jump in and say good morning to you and let y'all know I was listening out there. So, Sam, we'll talk to you later. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. K9 ESM down there in South Central Indiana. We'll get there.
All right, very good. Thanks for jumping in there. Yeah, HD's not bad. I can tell there's a difference there in your signal and your audio. But, you know, I make fun of those HDs. I call them girly radios. But there's a purpose for them, and they work. But I guess the issue I have with them is we got so many operators out there that want to use that as their main gig, their main radio. And they don't want to get a man's radio, a 50 water. But, you know, I throw that out there with a laugh, and it starts a conversation, and that's what I'm after, actually. They just don't know that until they're all twangled in the wets and the spider web with it. But, you know, that's this is a hobby of fun, I suppose. All right, Art. Well, yeah, stay safe over there, and glad you made it through. ACAUW, are you still listening?
Yeah, I'm here, or I guess I better say I'm back. I got a phone call there a bit ago. My mom's in the hospital, and she called me this morning. She's got to go in for to get her upper GI scoped. She's got something blocking, and she can't swallow. So she was calling this morning, and she's in a little bit of pain and hadn't seen the doctor yet. Just getting an update there. I'm working on getting myself together, ready to go down to see her. And hopefully they'll get her in real soon. Back to you.
Yeah, that's what I was calling you about, to see what how your mom's doing. Now, is she in Highland County, or is she over there in Greene County Memorial? Clinton County, I guess it is, maybe.
Yeah, she's in Clinton County. When we got her here to the Greene County Hospital, and they did a scope, or they didn't do a scope. They checked her in and had her drink some Pepsi. I guess the carbonation, sometimes that'll help dislodge or get things moving, and it didn't work. So they called the GI doctor, and they TS'd to have her transferred to down in Wilmington, because that's the hospital that he's affiliated with. And of course, his office is, I think, in some part, you know, our hospitals will have family or, practitioners and offices off the side of the campus there. I think that's where he is, or his office is real, like, within a block of the hospital. So we didn't get down there until... Oh gosh, it was after 9 o'clock by the time they got her settled in. So they were going to put off the procedure till this morning, and so that's the deal there. ACAUW.
Bill, could you just now hear that real low key ID coming out of Chicago?
Yeah, I heard that. You recall that I've been having a little problems with the audio on my phone, and I was thinking my phone was kind of messing up again. But then I noticed, looked down and noticed that it was Chicago. Keyed up here in the list, and so I thought I'd just wait a minute and see if he came back, and sure enough, I think somebody else was mentioning that earlier a little bit ago, right?
Well, it was, I think, me, but I asked Tony, and Tony's up there in Chicagoland, but he said he can't hear it, so I'm going to ask him to open his... Open his radio or his squelch up a little bit more, maybe. They've got it. See, they're not supposed to key up on here, of course. And Michigan's doing it. Chicago does it. But now Chicago's turned it down. Used to be you could hear it verbally better, of course. Audible's louder, in other words. But now I notice that it's IDing, but it's like turned off or turned... Well, it's not turned off, but it's turned way down. Hardly any audible at all there, over.
Well, that's like I was trying to tell you before, that's what you get when you have a link system where the repeater or the Echolink station is a link station like yours, but instead of being a simplex frequency, it's tuned to a repeater frequency. So basically, it's a repeater, just a regular RF repeater, but off to the side, somewhere at someone's house nearby, just like the 95 machine and the 300 machine, you know, there's a station with a radio and a computer connected up just like your link, but it's the only thing different from your link and this, probably those repeaters that are IDing, is that the radio is tuned to the repeater frequency and set in duplex. So so whenever the repeater IDs over RF, that link station receives the ID and can't discern it from normal, radio, normal audio transmission. It can't tell the difference from that and someone talking, so it passes that audio on back out on the echo link. And that's pretty much the technical aspect of it. Over.
Okay, well, on the link here, of course, I get in the SysPop settings, and I would think that, and then, now the Chicago machine is a repeater. I think it's still up on a building over there. I thought it was in the loop, what they call in the loop up that way, but Tony can give us a better locale on it. It might be on the shores of Lake Michigan, as far as I know. I don't remember. But I know that they did have it up on a building. Imagine that, because there's some tall buildings up that way. But anyway, here on my link, I can get into the SysPop settings on tools and go across the top and find the ID that makes voice CW ID or turn it off. So I would think that they would have that capability on their equipment there, right? Over.
Well, I'm afraid, yes, and I would bet you dollars to donuts that they have their ID turned off because, again, it's a link. It's just like your station, except they have the radio set for duplex. So they have it set on a duplex with the offset and probably has the, if there's a PL tone for the repeater. There's a PL in the radio. And so, I mean, you could disconnect the echo link and pick up the mic and talk through the repeater just like anyone else can. The only difference with the radio is it's connected to echo link, a soundboard on a computer. So basically, the whole SysOp settings, the reason for having the ability to ID is a situation like yours where you have a transmitting station on the air, you have to ID because your transmitter is the source of the signal. Now, on systems where there's a repeater on EchoLink, the repeater IDs for that frequency. And so that's where you would want to have the link radio, the ID turned off, because you wouldn't want the repeater transmitting an ID as well as the link radio IDing. So I understand you're having a little trouble understanding the difference, but that's what it is. You know, for a link system, you want to have an ID, but if you're on a repeater system, you don't. You want to turn that off in your SysOp settings. Over.
I think I understand that. But we'll simplify and we'll obey the FCC Part 97 rules and regs on it, though.
You know, that's a good point. For example, our local, 95 repeater and the 300, the Huber Heights Club repeaters, it's the same. We're familiar with it, but for the benefit of others might be listening, One of our local ham radio clubs owns a repeater system that's on a loaned tower. It kind of came to us through a local commercial radio company. They used to own the tower and the system, and they provided radio equipment for local public service. And, of course, that was in the 70s and 80s. And since then, you know, the equipment has gone to higher frequencies and digital and so forth. So these repeaters are basically used equipment left over from the public service service, and they've been converted to ham radio and donated to the club. One of the charter members or founding members of this club was the technician that worked for this commercial radio company. He was a technician to maintain these repeaters, and when they became more or less obsolete, he acquired them and converted them to ham radio service. I'm going to have a break here. So they're kind of older equipment. At one time they had phone patch, but, you know, that's kind of fallen by the wayside thanks to cell phones. But in order to get them on Echolink, we have a club member that lives, you know, within a mile off of the repeater, and he's got a station set up in his garage, it's actually a family garage converted to a family room, but he's got a system set up home with a PC, dedicated computer, and a radio. I think they're using a Linko, or maybe it's a TYT. Might even be an Anytone, but I think it's a Linko 25 watt radio connected to the computer with a signal link device, and so that's the Echolink portion of the repeater, and of course that radio is set to to transmit on the repeater's input frequency, and it receives on the repeater's output frequency. And so, unfortunately, when the repeater IDs over RF,
let's see here, I'm just getting messages here. N8 JPR repeater, WM9W repeater, and KERHS link have all timed out.
Yeah, I was trying not to run, but you lose track of time. So, well, anyway, Sam, I need to step away for a little bit and do some chores here in the house before I head for Wilmington. So I'll step away for a little bit. I'll be monitoring from a distance, but 73 for the morning, and then we'll get back later. AC8 UW, sorry for the timeout.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. You know, I get lambasted every day somewhere or messing somebody up. But here's a question for you on your way out. You don't have to answer now. You can be thinking about it. Okay, I've been wanting to bring the 224-300 into our dossier here in the mornings, but I can't do it because it's noisy, it's IDing, it's crappy. How can we quiet that down to bring it into the realm here? That's the question that you can answer next time you show up. How can we quiet down the 224-300 so we can bring it in and get it with, sit it with the group here and not make a mess of things, probably. But you don't have to answer it now. Like I say, you can go on and we'll think about that later. I'd like to bring Dayton into the realm here, even the dinner club repeater. You can't do it because they're a mess. They're a daggone mess. And I just don't like that at all. Two big, nice 220 repeaters here in Dayton, Ohio, and we can't use them. Can't use them. W9SM. Anybody else there want to make a comment about any of this tech talk we're doing here. Over.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
79, SCM. Tony, are you still about? Did you hear some of that talk? We were trying to figure out why you guys got that going on up there. Maybe you don't know, I don't know. But I want to know from you, where exactly is the Good Guys and Gals machine? It's still up there on that building, I think? Seems like I've seen pictures of it out there on a building, on the ledge or something there. Over.
DFP. Yeah, it's just off the lakeshore, downtown.
Okay, well, yeah, that sounds familiar. You know, I got them as a Facebook friend, and they're always at times putting pictures up, and, last year, I think, they were doing something there, and they had some pictures of the antenna, and you could see out over the water, I guess, was behind it. So I figured it was over close to Lake Michigan there, over.
Yeah, we were downtown for a parade a while back, and with an HT, you could actually hit it pretty well in spite of all the tall buildings out there. So it works pretty well downtown.
Okay, yeah, well, see, now there's something where you're using an HT, and you possibly could be moving along, walking or whatever, where you're at, and you're still in communique with headquarters, and works pretty good with the HT stuff. As long as it's not noisy and irritable and unusable, but, you know, sometimes you get that, of course. And, you know, you want to clear traffic, clear transmission. So, anyways, let me see here. I had something I was going to say, but it's, poof, it's gone. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio. Anybody else here want to make a comment? Over. Mr. C, are you still around? Over there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, we got involved in this tech talk here and kind of lost count of all our Friday morning participants here. Over.
Yeah, it's all right. I had a major phone call I had to take care of, and for some reason, the 210 machine over here dropped out. This link went dead for 2 or 3 minutes. But yeah, I'm still here for a minute. I gotta get going and go to one of my second homes up there, going to Lowe's and stuff, tie some more stuff, you know.
Of course. Well, probably I got this timed out with the others here a while ago. Phil talking about some tech things there, and you know, so many of these repeaters got different timeouts on them, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. The one I have here in my shop, when I put it on the air, it's got a 10-minute timer, and that's what I told the tech when he built that, wired it up and put it on the air. I said, I don't want another three-minute stuff. I said, put a 10-minute on it. I said, I want one on there in case a safety valve, of course, you know, to have on there. You got to have a safety valve for a repeater. But, you know, you don't have to have a... You know, I talked to a 2-meter or a 220 repeater up north of me, up in, three counties north of me, and it's up on a farm silo way up there. It's got a good footprint. I don't know, a 30-mile footprint, 50-mile something, I don't know. And it started breaking down on them, and they kept reducing the TOT. They got that thing down to a 1-minute TOT. So I offered some help. I got some equipment here. He says, I don't want none of your help, is what he told me. I say, okay.
I said, but I'll tell you what, I'm out of here. You're not going to hear me anymore. Not that you care. And I haven't been on that machine in a couple of years now. I don't even know if it's still on. Why do you want to put a one-month POT on there? You know, back in the day, back in the 70s, 80s, my flabber, N8KFL, told me that the 220 repeaters never had that PLs on them. They were always open, you know. I said, well, it sure ain't like it today. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, I don't, I can't remember if I've ever put a repeater in a radio that didn't have a PL. I'm not sure I'd know how to act without one.
Well, I can say this, that I think on every 440 repeater that I've been on has a PL. 2 meter, not so much. They do, they don't. And away with 220, they do, they don't. So, but 440's definitely got them. I don't do 440 anymore. I do very, very little 2 meter. And when if I do it, it's a simplex. I'm an analog 220 simplex operator there, over.
USL, yeah, I'm, since I started, I've been pretty much 2 meter, 70 centimeter stuff. But I'm still a rookie, always will be. But yeah, I'm gonna finish my coffee and step out and get going to Lowe's and see what kind of trouble I can get into. KD9ZWT, Morgantown, Indiana.
All right, Morgantown, Indiana, good to hear you this morning. And they are talking the weekend here, relatively cool. I think Sunday gets a little warmer. And I don't know about storms. I think we might have seen the last of the heavy ones the next several days. So, but we're getting closer. Well, we're... this is Palm Sunday weekend, isn't it? Yes. And let's see, April 1st is Wednesday. This Wednesday, April 1st. So here we go, April's showing up. And that means a lot of new things. Change of seasons is on the way. And for as far as I'm concerned, for the better. But, you know, with that change of seasons, with that warmer weather, you get what we've been getting here the last few weeks. Storms everywhere. And heavy storms. You know, Northern Ohio here first started a couple weeks ago. They got tornado hit, tore up everything. That's just awful. I just hate to see that. I was in Xenia, Ohio, about an hour after that one hit over there back in April of 74. And I went in on a fire department vehicle, marked vehicle, delivering emergency generators. And it was a mess. Looked like houses were cut right in half with a knife. The plumbing hanging out, the toilet hanging out, bathtub hanging out with a pipe, you know. School buses on top of school. Oh, Lord. You think the Jolly Green Giant walked through there. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio. Be checking with some local people here, see if they're around. Let's see here, we'll start with KDIJN. Are you, you have your radio on and coffee in hand, or are you out there at the breakfast table there this morning? Over. Don't tell me you still sleep in bed, gee me Christmas. KDABOO, are you around this morning? Over. Okay, WATOP, Pop, are you, can you hear us this morning? You got your radio on? Oh, looks like the only local was ACNUW, so at least we had him in here. Anyway, is anybody else out there that's on the air this morning can make a comment? What's your weather doing in your area there? What'd you have last night? And then hopefully you made it through it okay there. Over. Is there anybody in Michigan, mobile to work on the NHAPR machine up in Moline, Michigan? Over. Maybe it's a day off today in the in the lower 48. Nobody's going to work on Friday. Boy, that would be a great thing. I'd like to see Fridays and Mondays off, make it a long weekend. 29SM, Dayton, Ohio. All right, W9SAM. Tony, he's still alive and well up there in Chicago?
K9DFP. Yeah, good morning, Sam, and hope you survived that storm with all the thunder and the wind. We had a pretty good last night ourselves. Going through today's news. This is going to hit close to home for you. I don't know if you knew the story behind Michael Altman. He was a firefighter we lost recently in a arson because some crackhead with a head full of God knows what decided to torch a building, and we lost one of Chicago's finest firemen. His wife was expecting, and she just had her baby yesterday. And the funeral procession was supposed to be yesterday, and they just canceled it.
Well, it sure does cross over my heart with this, losing a brother in the force there. And it seems like it's always the ones that have young children, have children on the way, just married. It just gets worse and worse as the story goes on of, this firefighter's demise, death. And, we're talking female firefighters these days. It's not like the old days as males. We got females now. They're going down just like the males. We have some we've lost in the forestry fires. I'll tell you, it's you get on the big departments there in the big cities, and it's an everyday liver life. The same almost as a police officer. When he or she gets out to stop a vehicle, walks up that vehicle, and the guy shoots through the window at him. They just don't know what to expect. Same thing with fire. You're going to get overdraft, something's going to explode in there, something's going to fall in on you. You're going to go through the floor. I mean, it's a host of things. Just a myriad of things. And these guys, their lives, protecting the public. Sometimes I've wondered over the years when I was on the job, sitting in my office thinking, is this worth it? Would it be worth it to lose your life over some of these people? But of course the answer is yes, obviously. What are you going to be doing? Well, you're not ever thinking that's going to happen to you. I never thought that until the day I got thrown up the fire engine going around a corner, a curve, or going to a fire, people trapped, stood up to put my air pack on, and out the back I went. I was riding right behind the crew cab, and it was an open cab back then. Not like today, everything's closed up when you buy a rig. And the guy next to me, he couldn't grab me. It just happened so fast. On the ground I went, rolled about 12, 13 pounds of that air pack on. Should have exploded and sent me to the moon, but it did not. And the chief pulled up in front of me, blocked me so all the other apparatus wouldn't come through and roll my butt over. So I went home early that day, over.
Nice to hear that you didn't get too banged up, but this was just a senseless act that caused the situation in the first place. And it just infuriates me that, you know, someone that could be so stupid could create so much tragedy. You know, here's a woman who's lost her husband, and the day that they're supposed to bury him is the day she gives birth to her daughter.
That's very heartbreaking. I probably will see it here soon on Facebook, and I'm one of the, in fact, I am the only one that posts things on our fire department page these days, and I'll be posting that if it comes through. I do get stuff out of Chicago, out of New York, all of them actually. So the fire community, the global fire community, I guess you call it. And, you know, we had some of our people from our department in 01 be up there, and they worked part of the pile a couple of days, a week maybe. We had our four or five guys. Well, there was a gal up there, our full-time gals up there. And they shook the president's hand and all that, and they worked that pile with all the other fire community brothers, sisters that were up there trying to help. So it's a connecting thing, just like just like the police department, same thing, you know. So that's you just don't know what you're faced with when you go into work. In the bigger cities, it's worse. It's a war, of course. But it can happen anywhere, anytime. It did up here with me on that, and I was the only one that had heard before. We had a tree come in on an ambulance that was going out checking hydrants. And they had stopped the ambulance, and the guy that was sitting in the passenger side got out and went to the driver's side, and the woman driver went over and got in the passenger side. Well, the tree fell right in on the cab, crushed her like a grape. Killed her right then and there. Tragedy, just like that. And the guy that got out of the seat, I mean, he could imagine. Oh, he was just by himself. I mean, he just couldn't handle it. And just simple, stupid stuff like that. Here, this big old tree was next to the road, had a bee's nest in it, and everything should have been taken down. But they missed it, and out of a clear blue, but here it come. Right in on medic, smasher. Oh, boy.
W9SAM, Dayton,
Ohio.
Yeah, that is a tragic freak accident. Just an awful story about this firefighter, though. His name is Michael Altman. A-L-T-M-A-N. And if you get next to your computer, you maybe look it up and read this story. It was just a tragedy. K9DFT.
Okay, I'll try and remember that name, Mike Alton. Yeah, okay. It brought to my attention, and I'll look for it. Even. So, from the Pacific to the Atlantic, to the Canadian border, to the Mexican border, there's thousands and thousands of emergency vehicles making their way towards the scene somewhere, all across the Lower 48 and everywhere. And it's a daily thing. I always train the people when I was an instructor with my first department. Anytime you turn that sign on and has red lights, you're in danger. The public is in danger. You know, it's not like you're in a parade. You're moving in and out of traffic, and anything's possible. So that's why you're alert as soon as the doors go up and you pull off the ramp. You know, I mean, the passenger up there usually is the officer. They're looking one way, driver's looking the other way, of course, and all kinds of things. It depends on what rig you're riding in. And the bigger, ladder trucks, those are worse to move to the traffic. I know, I used to drive one. I got 10-foot bucket sitting out in front of me. Trying to make an intersection car's right there up to the corner. You're trying to go around and miss that telephone pole in the corner and not run over the fire and trying to get through. And you got that 10 foot in front of you, plus you got a 40 foot behind you. You know, I mean, you just don't go flying through there. It's, you move easily, safely, and carefully. W9SM. W9SM, anybody else want to get in on the discussion here this morning on the 220 band? Who out there can help us make 220 great again this morning? Over. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio. Anybody else on frequency? Could be a day off today for everybody. So I don't know how the East Coast Reflector is doing this morning. Since we're over here messing with this, we don't get on there much anymore. Over.
CMN Network, 220.
And where is Jan at anyway? He usually gets on here and says a couple things now and then. Over.
Sam, one of my locals out here said I was breaking up. Just curious if you're copying me okay out there in Dayton.
I haven't noticed any problems. You're always coming through pretty solid.
All right, let me know if that happens. I may have to nudge the beam a little bit, but he said he was having problems with me breaking up. But it could be his end.
You know, something I found out, when there's problems, okay, what did we do first? Well, where are the problems stemming from? My station or yours? Or the repeater, even, if it's such a thing. That's where you got to start off with. Because where you think it might be them, it could be you. You know, that's always what I think about, over.
Yeah, well, on occasion we have a hiccup here, and we have to determine if it's you or me or something else I'm not aware of, but I guess we're working okay. It's working okay, because I've got a really good copy on you, and hope it's the same on your end, KE9DFP.
Like I said, you're coming in nice and square, a Q5 all the way. What do you call it? Armchair copy. I haven't heard that in a while.
Yes, Sam.
Bad day.
Okay, I think we might have had a double with you with Chicago and maybe Indiana. Indiana, go ahead, Indiana.
This is loud and clear this morning.
Is it Indiana or was it Virginia? Virginia just left again. I don't know why they keep this spin.
No, I'm moving to Indiana, Sam. I just want to let him know he's getting in here fine.
Yeah, that's Tony over there in Chicago on the Good Guys and Gals 220 repeater they got, over.
Copy that. Yeah, Tony is kind of good down here. Down here about 30 miles south of Indy.
Thank you for the feedback. Yeah, I'm just going to chuck it up to my friends that day on a Bofang.
Yeah, I hear you. There's times I've got Bofang and I've got DDH8 and I'm on H8 this morning. I'm not on the base. I haven't even fired it up. just I'm just working on my DDA date this morning, so yeah, you're getting down there in good shape.
Well, it sounds like those buffoons are working for you. buffoon radios, yeah, the mark of an excellent HD, over.
Yeah, what do you want for
Try that transmission one more time, a little bit easier.
What do you want for 30?
Okay, I see it's you, Phil. You're a real garbled. Don't know, go ahead. Yeah, welcome back, AJM. Anybody in Virginia online this morning? Go ahead, Virginia.
W9SAM, KG4HOT.
Go ahead, HOT. We're here. Good morning. We got, looks like, 37 degrees over here. And very cloudy out there. And we got some wind here. But it was a rough night last night. But anyways, what you got to tell us from Virginia there, over?
Oh, I got 66 degrees and a little cloud cover. Not much, but a little cloud cover. And I'm hoping that we'll get a little rain later on today. Hey, do you do email, Sam?
QRZ, my email is good on QRZ.
I'll, not sure it'll be today, maybe later on, but I'll shoot you an email. Just a heads up, hey, if you don't mind, sir, I would appreciate if you wouldn't bring the other connections in. I have no objection to you coming in to say hello if you like, but if you can just not drag the other connections in for right now, that would be good. Over.
Well, I mean, I got a list here of repeaters that we bring up in the morning that we cover to try to, formulate activity. Is that what you're speaking of?
Yeah, well, there was, I wasn't a part of it, but I guess there were a number of other connections there that were in from your side. And some of them, I guess, do not have, their ID and so forth comes out of the system. And, you enjoy, but if you don't mind, I'd sooner not have that connected into our connection system, if that makes sense.
Well, yes, sir. Sure, it does make sense. And I know one here that I can't pull out. That's Michigan. They're IDing with some kind of thing they got going on over there. So we haven't heard anybody from. Sometimes we get mobiles up there, but nothing so far today. So is this Tim or Jason I'm talking to?
Yeah, this is Tim, KG4HOT. And, like I say, I don't mind if you join in, Sam. We appreciate your enthusiasm, but, if you would just refrain from all of the other connections that are connected to you when you come in, we'll chat about that offline sometime there. Over.
CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network. CMN Network.
CQCQ, Zulu Sierra 6, Alpha Mike Foxtrot on Echo Link from Johannesburg, South Africa, calling CQ. Is anybody on frequency?
This is the CMN Network, MI3. CMN Network, 220. CMN Network, MI3.